It's Sunday morning, October 17th.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the situation that you put us in. Lord, we thank you that you are what you are. And that you have shared the measure of yourself that you have with us. We thank you for that. We are blessed in that, Lord. Lord, that we would recognize all the ways that we are blessed in that. And Lord, we ask that you would prepare us as best we can be prepared for heaven. Heaven is the point of it, but important things happen here on earth. So, Lord, that we would be, you would do what there is that can be done. Lead us in the path that you would have us follow, Lord, so that heaven will be glorious. But, Lord, if we are made into your image as best we can be here, Lord, I look forward to that. Oh, I look forward to that. There's the rock singer Neil Young said that nothing is perfect in God's perfect plan. And, there's truth in that. There's truth in that. It's not immediately apparent, but there is truth in that. So, Lord, that we would know that in the way that you would have us know it, O Lord. And, Lord, that you would use the service today to advance your purposes in our lives, Lord. That there would be light put on your word, that we would receive revelation into what you meant by what you said, and that our ears would receive the good things that your Spirit has for us. Amen.
I saw something in the scriptures this morning, and I really don't have an answer for it. And it's in the King James Version, so I know what it says in other places. But in Matthew 12:43, it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places." And I've always quoted it as he goes through dry places or whatever it is. But the word walks kind of threw me off. Now, I don't know, this is in the King James. Does it say that in other translations or not?
I'm looking at the NIV. It says it goes through arid places, which who knows what the seeking rest and does not find
it. The
could
word
go
walks,
through it by walking. I don't know.
The word walks would suggest he has legs or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the New King James says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none." Don't say anything about walking.
Yeah, well, I've never realized.
Goes through any.
Yeah, goes through the dry places.
Well, it kind of threw me off a little bit here because I couldn't really visualize a spirit walking. But
the New American Standard Bible says, "Now when the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it."
Passes through.
Yeah.
So it must be just a peculiarity in the King James here.
I kind of like walk, but.
But anyway, that had nothing to do with my thought pattern this morning. In over 60 years of experiences and things happening in the spirit, I have kind of been through, you know, several different stages of things, and about 20 years ago or so, I was made to realize that what God meant by what he said in the scriptures is the revelation of himself and the revelation of all other things. Truth is what God meant. Truth is not what the limited minds of men come up with. And so church organizations fancy themselves, you know, somehow to have the ability in their minds to figure out, to figure God out. And it's not a possibility. We can understand by the Spirit, but to figure things of God out is not possible. And to determine whether there is a God or there isn't a God isn't possible either. There's a scripture in the sixth chapter of Timothy, 1 Timothy, that says to avoid science, which is science of men, falsely so called, which science being the eyesight observation that comes up with truth. And I know people that they're in that dilemma, and if they can't see it, it's not real. And of course, Doubting Thomas was kind of in that category. And Jesus kind of did something that kind of shook his category up, but. And of course, I saw a lot of things before I really, you know, come to a lot of the conclusions that, whatever. But my wife and I, right after we were married, we had I wasn't even familiar with the King James in those days. But we had more of an English reading Bible, New American Standard. And that's what we read, and we would read it every night with the kids. And and when we got the three little Britain boys, we'd read it, and we'd take turns having them read it and so forth. And so they grew up being familiar with the Bible, and I suppose that maybe that's one of the reasons that God used us to fulfill that prophecy to that church in Seattle. But I have seen enough things, and I thought about it. I thought that. I know we understand, the Bible says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, we understand by faith, no, through faith, we understand through faith, that the heavens were created by the Word of God. Well, I tell you what, you don't understand that by any natural observation, because that don't make any sense. But somehow, after you see enough, you understand through faith that God did create all things that exist, and that why it says by His word, I don't really understand. But the word is it's in Hebrews 12 or Hebrews 4. It says it is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that doesn't make sense, but that's what it says. And I believe it. I have a little testimony, and right now would be a good time to say it. Chuck's mother, Chuck was 62 yesterday, and so we went out to a pizza ranch, and met his brother Jeff and his mother, and we're out there, And his mother was several years older than my wife. And as a result, as they were growing up with about four or five other boys, and about four of them older and about two of them younger, and as a result, his mother, whose name was Carol, she kind of took advantage a little bit of my wife, Joanne, and Joanne never had a problem with it, but Joanne did a lot of things for her, and instead of her, and so it kind of spoiled her a little bit, and so she has been a real I don't want to say difficult, but yeah, difficult person in our lives for ever since, you know. But we took Chuck in when he was a year and a half old and had him until he went to school or went to college, and Bible college. And but she always had a rough, hard time with us. And after my wife passed away, it did something to Carol. And and we went out yesterday, and she said, you know, she's just a few years older than I am. And she said that she fell down. I mean, what happened about two or three years, maybe, I don't know, somewhere in there, when the Wonder Bible was being popular. And I bought her one, and I think the thing still works. And she keeps it plugged in all the time and turns it on all day long, and she listens to the Bible. And this has proven a real major thing to me, because she said yesterday that she had fallen down, had stuff in her arms, and she had fallen down and landed on her elbow with all black and blue and swollen up, and you know, and this would have thrown her right out of the water. And she says, I mean, this is what she said. But she said, I've learned to pray about it. And she said, I prayed and everything got better. And she says, and here I am. Huh. And I thought, if my wife could hear that, and maybe she does, I don't know. But she my wife prayed for her for years. And Carol calls me at least once a day, and I think I can't get out and do a lot of other things, but you can talk on the telephone, and it's been real rewarding and real encouraging, and it was encouraging yesterday to hear her say that. It was really encouraging, and just to see the attitude and the change that has taken place in her. And you know what? She don't go to church, but she listens to God's word. I've come to the realization that about the only thing you really need to do is take in God's word. It will change you by itself, because it's quick and powerful and sharp. Twyla Baca, that lives down at the end of the street, she had a vision a number of years ago, and as she saw me standing at the back door with a sword, and I was cutting people with it, and people were bleeding, and people were upset, and people were crying, and I didn't think much of it until God spoke to me about And I realized it was the only way I could this could be fulfilled is by the intake of God's word. And I it hit me one day. And here's what this it says in Ephesians 6:17. It says, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And I realized that the sword that God wanted used was his word. And so that's one of the things. So we have been listening. I've been listening for over 20 years. And my wife and I listened together for at least 15 years. And I've told people, I don't think we ever had a disagreement in 15 years. And we laughed and we cried over God's word. And she loved it. And here's her sister. A transformed person. And it's just conversation and her listening to the word. That's about the only thing that I'm aware of. She doesn't even do things that she used to do. And she used to... She was a member, a member, whatever you call it, of the VFW, and her husband was in I don't know which war, but, Second World War, I'm sure, and he was a little older than she was, and she used to go out there all the time, and she just, you know, and She didn't even feel comfortable there. I'm thinking, why? What happened? It had to be something in God's word. Anyway.
Well, it's encouraging to see God's word at work.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
Changing people.
One of the areas of focus for us recently is receiving God's love, having a love for God, having that be enhanced, and we know from our own feeble efforts that doesn't work very well with the natural effort. It does require a work of the Holy Spirit, but we remember that Jesus said, "And the second is like unto the first, namely that we love our neighbors as ourselves." And that also is a work of the Spirit, I believe. And I have thought about that, and I really, you know, the number one opportunity that we have for obeying that commandment, fulfilling his word in that respect, is, you know the line, charity begins at home. And Paul says, husbands, love your wives. And I realized, boy, I have this really good opportunity, really good opportunity to be able to obey that like unto the first commandment of that Jesus referred to, you know, to be loving my wife. And it does take a work of something more than the natural effort, you know. But it has been on my mind Husbands, obey your wives. Love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. You know? And it does say some things about what wives ought to do too, but that's not my, that's not within my control, and that's not my responsibility, what wives should be doing with their husbands. What's within my control? Although it's not really control, but what's in my court, if you will, is husbands, love your wives. And boy, I fall short. I fall short. But still, I believe that it was the Lord who planted in me that notion, hey, you got this opportunity. You got this opportunity to do what you were called to do. So take advantage of that opportunity as best you can. No, don't let that one drop. Don't let that drop. Husbands, obey, or not obey. husbands, love your wives. Anyway. Again, I'm not going to be claiming any victory in the area, but I am alert to the issue, and I'm seeking the Lord's help in that one.
Along with something that Charlie had just said, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, you know, there are some little scriptures that are jewels and we never see it. But it says here, because they received not the love for the truth, that they might be saved. How important is truth? Or even more so, how important is the love for the truth? And we see that the love for the truth is not a normal church, what's the word I want? I can't think of the word, but it's not something a lot of churches specialize in. That's not the word, but anyway. And the reason that I say that is because we have, you know, I was had a little fundamental Church of Christ, which is kind of the Baptist thing that all I was familiar with. But some of the things that we did, or that they did, were certainly not necessarily lining up with the scripture or lining up with what the scriptures reveal, you know, to us. And they were, and my brother was a pastor of the Church of Christ. And when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he was so excited that he couldn't help or wait to tell them about it. And as soon as he told the church that, they kicked him out. And he you know, every so often he writes me a letter or something thanking me for showing him what the Bible said. And so anyway, but the you know, there are Bible colleges that teach that speaking in tongues and what happened on the day in Acts, or the second chapter, is not for today. And there was a Church of Christ minister that preached on the radio, and I heard him the day after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it threw me right into a whirlwind, but God delivered me from it. And I opened the Bible, which I didn't even want to open it. I opened the Bible and turned to Luke 11:13. And it says, how much more then will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That's what it says. You know, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? It is for today. In the book of Acts, it was for your children, your grandchildren, their children. That's what it says. And I have seen lots of people receive it. So I thank God. Because it says in Acts 1:8, it says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And certainly after I had received the Holy Spirit and saw Jerome Aguinius get brand new kidneys and a lot of other things that were God healed people, but we also saw maybe 50 or 60 other people in that Lutheran church also receive the Holy Spirit. And the pastor wanted to, but his wife was of the old line and says, we're not Pentecostal, we're Lutheran. But it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, it's right after, it says, because they received not a love for the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I have been, I don't want to say plagued, I don't want to say tormented, I don't want to say anything like that, but I have been convicted, maybe, of a couple of scripture settings, and one of them is in Matthew 7:14, where it says, few there be that find it. And then in the 20th chapter of Matthew, it also says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I thought, there's another scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I thought, I don't want to die someday and find out that I wasn't one of the chosen or that I didn't really find it. And so it's caused me to pray, you know.
You know, we like to think that hell is not a very pleasant thing to think about. We don't like the idea of people going there. And I like to think, well, you know, if they really sincerely believe what they're believing, then, you know, that should be good enough for God. You know? Hey, they really believed it. Well, I think you could probably really believe something if you've been subject to deception.
Sure.
It's troubling, though. It doesn't make it any less troubling. I do think we should certainly earnestly pray that those around us who have sincere beliefs receive sincere beliefs for those things that are true and have a developed love for it. And rather than comfort ourselves and take ourselves off the hook by saying, well, gee, they really sincerely believe it, so they should be all right. Now, we do have a God of grace. We have a God of grace. We have a God of grace. He's a merciful God. I don't know where the line is there. I just don't know. But I dare not say, well, he's so merciful that he'll say, well, they sincerely believed it, and so good enough for me. We better not decide that his mercy goes that far. We best not do that. If he wants to decide that, then hey, that's his business. But we better not decide that. That's where the line of his mercy is. We have no business knowing that, or thinking we do know it.
It's been my experience that the more someone is knowledgeable and in the Word, the more they are fearful of their salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason for that is the more they are in the Word, the more the Word reminds you that it's not if you've done this, you're good to go, or if you know this, you know you're safe. It's always been one of those things that's kind of bothered me a little bit. I would look at people who I knew were really spiritual, really knowledgeable, and really had a strong spirit. And they seem to be telling me, you know, there's not this easy, uneasy street here for salvation. It's an effort, and it's work. And the more you know, the more you're accountable for. The thing is, if you only get to that place and stop, you end up putting yourself in a bad corner. If you continue on, you see and hear the things about how great God's love is and how much he wants you to love him. And you go, you know, there is a path forward, but you just have to get past the idea that it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I'm home free. And it's because it's not. I like to use the expression, because it helps me, that we are running the great race for eternal life. I am running the great race for eternal life. And I need to run this race for eternal life to my last breath. Because that's what God has told me that he requires of me. And if you are constantly seeking him and constantly listening to the word, and the Spirit is constantly blessing you, you are doing all that you can do to be chosen. And you have to be at peace with that, because that's all you can do. Sometimes it gets a little scary, but it's all I can do, because that's all he's asking me to do. But as I look around at, over the years, at people who I thought knew a whole lot more than me, I hear them say, "Boy, I'm not sure I'm going to make it." And the enemy got in there and said, "If he doesn't think he can make it, I'm toast." And that's the deception you have to fight against. So if you ever find yourself in that place, take comfort in the fact that That's just the enemy trying to spook you. You just have to keep working at it. And the funny thing is, because we can't judge and we don't know, do not start making in your mind, do not start saying, you know, I'm not doing all I need to do. You know, don't let the enemy tell you that you're coming up short, because you don't know. All you know is you can strive. Beyond that, and don't fall into the, I don't need to do that because grace and mercy will cover me, because I've read the scriptures a little bit. And I think that's what Brother Charlie was trying to warn us about, because that's easy. I call that the spiritual cop-out 101. Yeah, God loves me. I don't have to worry about it. His grace and mercy is going to protect me while I make all these bad choices. Yeah, I don't think that's the place you want to be in. I hope that was uplifting and not scary. Because that's what it was meant to be.
Yeah. Well, a lot of gray. I don't know. You know, we work on our salvation with fear and trembling. And yet Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says we have to come into a place of rest. Now, how do you make sense of all that stuff? I've wondered, I don't know if it is particularly helpful, but I've wondered if it isn't something like, breaking the sound barrier. When you are approaching that place of the sound barrier, there's a lot of resistance, a lot of trouble, a lot of, the airplane is being banged around here. You break the sound barrier, and it is easy, just, everything flows real nice, real effortless, and maybe we are called to break the sound barrier and have it be easy, a place where his yoke is easy, his burden is light, where we rest in him, knowing that he will take care of us, but hey, first you got to break that sound barrier. You're not gonna be able to rest in him when you're have the sound barrier ahead of you. I don't know. Start making these announcements about what God is and is not, and it's true, But. Whatever. I do know he's good. I know he's good. We start sorting out, well, how could he do this? How could he do that? And I don't know the answer to those questions. What I do know is that he is good, though. That one I know.
And the bad thing about it is we won't really know till we die.
That's right.
And that's not really a secure situation. But Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And we have a lot of explanations for that, but than it is for a rich man to go to heaven. And his disciples then said, well, then who can be saved? Because they were under the impression that the rich people were the Christians, the godly Jews. And Jesus made this statement, and this fits exactly what I've been talking about. And he says, with men it is impossible. And so when men use their own judgment to determine the word of God, it's impossible. But he says, but with God all things are possible. And there's a scripture that says, that he will keep them in perfect peace when they have their mind stayed upon him. And I think that one of the advantages of listening to the scriptures, even though there's a lot of conviction that comes, and I've had a lot of conviction as I've listened, and is the fact that it keeps our mind on the Lord. And as such, it helps us to let go of a lot of things that shouldn't be there in the first place. It changes the personality. And that's where in the 12th chapter of Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Nothing else can renew the mind except like the scriptures do. And like with Carol, our mind is changing. And I sat yesterday for a while and just cried, thinking about what has happened to her.
I want to read a little bit of Mark 12 because we've been talking around it a lot today. Starting in verse 28, halfway through. Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered to him, first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. And it goes on to say that that's the last time anybody ask Jesus a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question that I was raising, if we're talking about eternal life, is when God said, I should keep reading. And when the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other than he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have is, so if someone says, all you have to do is love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, is that easy or is that hard? Because someone is saying, how hard is it or how easy is it? And that's all you got to do. And love your neighbor yourself. And I've shared with the guys that I'm much closer to being okay with the first half of that requirement than I am the second half.
Right.
And the word all.
All. Yeah, all is not easy. But, you know, we talk about the way is straight but narrow. And it's, you know, I listened to, you know, even Keith, you know, kind of made a comment tonight. When you listen to someone, and it's not the word of God, but you listen to someone, there is a potential for there is good there. There is a potential that the Spirit is in it, and you might get some revelation. But the question you have to ask yourself is there more potential than listening to someone else talk about what God is? And listening to God talk about what God is.
Yes, amen.
So,
yep.
You know, and as a person you're listening to, you're trying to make them a mediator between you and God?
Yeah, that's right.
So, not to say that, and I've heard things from the brothers and other people and other ministers, and it's been good, but I don't know if that's my first plan.
Listening to others might cause me to search more. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
But I don't put my trust in that.
Right.
I put my trust in what I read and what the Spirit tells me.
Mm-hmm. As you should.
Yeah, there's another.
The Lord also tells me that if I believe, and I do, that he will make sure I am there with him. And that's what I stand on. And that's how I know where I'm at. Maybe not every day, but most.
There's a scripture that says, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen?
Yeah, all right. In the natural, I've never found that one real convincing.
Because you might see something you don't like. Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's pesky scripture. It's kind of getting in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot easier to express your love for the abstract than have this, you know. although I have to admit, I get where he's getting at. I'm not too keen on getting it, but I get it.
Gradually admit he may have a point.
He may have a point, yeah.
One of the things, you know, that we're to love God with all of our heart, and one of the things that I've begun to realize is, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have to love that with all our hearts? Since that is the nature of God.
Well, how can we love God if we don't love the truth?
Yeah.
See, that's what he is.
Well, if it pertains to God and you don't love it, how can you say you love God?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And if we love it, don't we want to love the truth of it?
We better. Anything else is idolatry, and that's not loving God. Might be loving something, but it's not loving God. If you're, and it's missing the mark, you know? So you can be full of love for the wrong thing. I don't think you're obeying the First Commandment when you do that.
Yeah.
Finding it a little easier as I get older to love the truth more than I did when I was younger. And I don't know how to explain that, except that maybe I'm a little wiser. I don't know. But some of the things I found hard to love before, I'm finding it quite easy to love now. Well, maybe easy isn't the word. Just able to.
Well, Jesus prayed, and he says, and he was saying, Father, sanctify them, separate them unto yourself through your truth, not Keith Gunn's truth, through his truth. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And of course, all these years that have gone by, and the translators are trying to translate Greek and Hebrew words and kind of using their own interpretation of them. And so, who knows exactly what we have with all the translations? And so that, but the answer to that is, the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The answer is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
That knows the things of God.
Amen.
And how much truth do we have? I don't know. We have gained some.
That's an ongoing work.
And one of the truths that is major is in the last verse up on the Bible, or up on the wall. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Most churchgoers, if they're anywhere near close to anything like this, they say that Jesus was both man and God. But we don't have even one scripture that I'm familiar with where it says that he was God. We don't have any. He was a man that God was in. He was a temple of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it says in, was it 1 Corinthians? It says that twice. Don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit?
And Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God sounds a lot like what Jesus was. So.
Yeah.
We too can be temples of God.
Yeah, right.
So the thing is, it's not impossible, because with God all things are possible. However, with men, it's not possible.
No, that's right. No.
And that's what we have to realize.
Lord,
give me your truth. Reveal your truth. I don't want the fundamental view of it. I don't want the charismatic view of it. I don't want man's view of it. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to us. And you know what? He will.
Yes, he will. For about two or three years ago, I wasn't close with God at all. And then I started listening. And then Grandpa gave me like a kid's Bible for Christmas. And then I started reading it more and said to read 20 minutes a day. And I got so hooked into the Bible that I didn't want to stop reading. And then I started listening to more like worship music and read the Bible more often. And then when I heard that we were gonna move in with Grandpa, I personally didn't want to do it, but I knew God, this is what was gonna happen, and there's gonna be good things in life for taking care of Grandpa, and this is the thing. And I knew that Grandma Joanne, she would be so proud of us and so happy if we came and take care of Grandpa.
This is Caden. This is the little fellow that that his mother dropped him on the cement floor and landed on him with her knee on the ankle of his foot. And he was, you know, he's only a couple years old. He was screaming. And she brought him upstairs, sat him on my lap, and was going to call the doctor. And I put my hand on his foot, and he was just screaming. And the little twisted ankle straightened out right underneath my hand. And I said, oh, my God. I mean, I had no faith whatsoever. And, oh, my God. And within 30 seconds, he was down on the floor playing with toys. And this is the one.
He twisted around every direction, and then
and he's
just running around playing right after that.
He has shared this with a lot of the kids that he goes to school with.
Yeah, I'm also inspired inspired more people of my friends to learn more about the Lord and stuff. I've been telling them what happened when I was a kid and everything. Like when God, like when my mom had, she broke her leg when she was power washing the deck once, and then it was like broken for a year, and then it got, she broke it again, and then when we heard that we were getting our snake back, she kicked a drill bit into her foot, and then it wasn't broken then, it was still like a little bit broken, but not then, but then she was still walking and fine, and I knew God, I knew it was still hurting, but I knew my mom believed that it will heal eventually, and that she believes that it will heal and nothing could stop her from doing stuff, from like moving in here into grandpa's and stuff. Even like when the devil attacks you and you get stuff stuck in your head, like saying, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. But then you have to overcome that, and say, yes, you can. I can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
God is good.
Love you all.